Still on the search of that one true love? On the limbo in this crazy world of dating, marriage, relationships? Well, listen to the Golden State Media Concepts Relationship Podcast, your one-stop podcast for everything about relationships.
Hello, and welcome to Golden State Media Concepts Relationships Podcast. I'm your host, John Johnson. The title is Who Comes First? I was having an interesting conversation with my executive producer, and we talk about a number of things all the time. In this particular case, what came up was the subject of, and sometimes this can come off as a bit controversial, if just because of the subject matter, but it would be that of when you're raising your kids, who comes first, the parents or the children? And obviously when children are born, they're very dependent, and we raise them, we have the idea that we want to raise them to behave a certain way, to be honest, to be considerate, to be giving, you know, all of those traits that we like to see in human beings that make for good people. The challenge is when we're raising our kids, how do we shape their behavior so that they behave in these kinds of ways? I mean, it's one thing when they're in front of us, they're kids, we can give them direction. But do we always set a good example because our children model our behavior? And as much as we may tell them what we expect of them, what we want them to do, quite often what we leave in our wake is what they pick up, what they emulate, and carry forth. So here was the example. When you're mom and dad, and you're scrambling around making your children the center of the world, obviously you have to care for them. That is one of those maternal and paternal instincts that we have, to care for our kids, to take care of them, raise them up. We try to teach them things. We try to get them involved in activities because we want them to be well-rounded and ad infinitum. Now, what kind of behavior is going to be the result when we make our children the center of our universe like that? I mean, we obviously care for our kids. That's not up for any controversy on that, because I would say we all care for our children. But how we go about that, we obviously have different ways in which we do this. Now, the conversation that when we make the kids the center of our world, we do everything for them, we run here, we run there, and it seems like the children's lives dictate what we do. The question is, how do these people behave when they are on their own? Do they think the world revolves around them? I mean, have we created a monster because we cater to our kids in that way? And with my executive producer, the conversation went the direction of, you know, the parents should be first, meaning mom and dad should be the focal point of their lives. And they definitely take care of the kids, but it isn't about necessarily making the kids the center of the world. It's about teaching the kids that the parents are first, the children are second. Now, that's not suggesting any sort of neglect, but what we're talking about here is when the parents make each other first, the kids see the love, they see the respect, they see the example of how people treat each other, and when kids are expected to treat the mom and the dad with the same sort of respect, courtesy, so on and so forth, then the kids come away with an impression of how they're not only expected to behave, but that when they ascend to that point in their lives, they already know what it is to respect their elders, because they will be an elder at some point in time. They respect authority. They understand that the world does not revolve around them, and how to put others first, to wait their turn, and to experience that what it is to be in service to others. And that might be a difficult thing to teach kids, because when kids are not taught that they have to wait their turn, that it is not all about them, then the kids grow up being very me-focused, being the kind of adults that are not a good example of empathy. Now, I realize this is a generalization, but this was the conversation that I was having with my executive producer. And clearly, there are variables to this. Certain cultures have neat little tricks in which they use to raise their children. Some, it's by a stick. Others, it's just by a look. I've seen lots of variables on this. But it was just an interesting topic. And think about it when you're raising your own children. If you're one of those parents that spends a lot of time in, let's say, in service to your kids, and I respect those that have the capacity to be able to do this thing a great deal, but I see so many examples of parents who are stressed out because the availability of time to go from one place to another. And if you have more than one kid, then you might have to be in lots of different places in a very compressed amount of time. That tends to add more to the stress on the parents. And I've seen parents who are frazzled. I mean, they're trying their hardest to give their kids a great experience in life. But there comes a point where you've gone beyond something that you have the capacity to do. And where is it that the kid really learns to appreciate what the parent's efforts are? Now, the parent can say, I hope you appreciate this. I hope you appreciate this. But does the kid really get it? Does the kid really understand it if it hasn't been taught to them yet? Now, some might say it really depends on the age. Maybe that's part of the lesson that will come in time. But when you make the kids the center of the universe, and I say that respectfully, what's the kid's expectation for what other people have to do? The kid expects them to treat him or her like they're the most important thing in the room. And that's not to say that kids need to learn assertiveness. They need to learn how to protect themselves or to have expectations that they are important, that they have rights. All of these things, I think, are very important for people to learn as they're growing up. But it's how are you going to convey that being me-focused goes up to a point, and you have to learn that other people are also important, that they have feelings. Again, the empathy and wanting to be in service to others, as opposed to having an expectation that other people serve me. Now, there are lots of conversations about how children behave today, say in restaurants or maybe other public places. And were it not for, let's say, we're in a public place, we consume lots of things, people just leaving the mess behind them as opposed to them cleaning up after themselves. And this is something I see a lot of. And even with the expectation that someone else cleans up after you. Now, maybe you have rules in your home that we take turns in doing the dishes or doing the cleanup and whatever it is that has to be cleaned up. It might not be the pretty stuff. It could be something that's fairly gnarly. But if we create the mess, then we should have the expectation that we have to have some sort of responsibility to clean it, and that it's not somebody else's job to clean up after us. So therefore, we create the environment that there is accountability. It's not just enough to say it, but you have to put it into action. And I would argue that there's lots of ways in which you can do that. But in this illustration that I've been talking about, it sort of flips a lot of conventional ways of operating back to, might I say it this way, old school ways in which parents regard themselves as first. The kids are obviously taken care of, though maybe not to the extent that some of us have come to know. But we do things within our means. And no is probably a larger part of the vocabulary. It's just a thought. I have to take a break, and I'll be right back after this.
Do you want to be healthier, yet you just don't know what to do? All these shows telling you this and that, but nothing seems to work. Well, listen close. Golden State Media Concepts has got something great for you. The health and wellness podcast dedicated to workout trends, healthy eating habits, diet, and everything about healthy living. Join us in our banters as we help you not just live life to the fullest, but live it to the healthiest.
Want to find out what movies to go see? Then check out the GSMC Movie Podcast. It's your ticket to the latest movies, whether it's a new blockbuster event, romantic, comedy, or action flick. This show has got it all covered. They talk some what to go see now. Don't bother. What's hot on Netflix and everything in between? That's GSMCpodcast.com/movie-podcast. When it's all about the movies, it has to be this new show. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit GSMCpodcast.com for more info.
Hello and welcome back to Golden State Media Concepts Relationships Podcast. I'm John Johnson talking about who comes first. Now, I talked about making the parents first, and I'm going to say, hey, how do you make your partner feel first? One of the things that I've done, at least for my lady partner, what I find matters, I mean, I like that she dresses nice. So what have I done? I've gone out and I will buy things that look good on her so that she has something nice to wear. And this is unique to her because I am the first person that she's ever dated that had that experience of feeling like she's important, that she has nice things to wear. And I mean, I'm a guy, I'm visual, so I don't apologize for that. But I make the point of providing for that. So it's not just her idea, but it is my idea as well. In fact, she likes the fact that I do the shopping for her because I tend to hit the nail right on the head. I know her sizes, so it makes it very easy for me to actually either see something on a catalog or in somewhere else. I will try to identify what that is and get it so that I can have it for my significant other. And she appreciates it from the effort that I put into it, and something that I hadn't thought about it in terms of the way I'm expressing my care and concern and love is I'm thinking about her even though I'm not there in her presence. And it's interesting that when she explained it, I hadn't thought about that. Now, I appreciated that she saw it that way because clearly I'm thinking about her. You know, it's for her size. It's you know, all the numbers. Like I said, I have that in my head. A lot of guys don't do that, but that's not something that is terribly difficult, that I think they just have to know to do it. But back to the point of how she felt like, wow, she's being remembered and being thought of. And she didn't realize it until she had the notion that, wow, it takes a lot of planning and to be able to pull off something like this. Because as she explained, you know, she's always thinking about me. And I said, wow, okay, well, yeah, I tend to know that. Because she would send text messages and things. And I don't tend to do a lot of that, even though I have said on my podcasts, you know, reach out to your significant other in all kinds of ways, write notes, send text messages, send emails, however you want to do that. But my chosen way of doing it is, as I've shared, I tend to buy little gifts or big gifts. And in this case, I'm talking about something for her to wear because she does like to look nice. And it wasn't something that she always had the opportunity to do before because she was working the kind of job that you couldn't necessarily wear nice things. I mean, even today, she does a lot of work. There are uniforms and the type of work that she does. But when she's out and about on her own, she dresses the part. And it was really nice that she gets compliments and people ask her about the things that she's wearing. And she proudly says, well, hey, you know, my guy got these for me. And that makes me feel special. She always comes back and tells me that. So that's a really, really nice feeling, I think, for the both of us. One, to be able to share that, and then to be thought of highly because I'm remembering her, and not just when I want something, but I like to do nice things for her in particular. Now, the benefit to me is her undying loyalty. And to be sure, I'm not trying to buy someone's love because there may be a perception that this is the only thing that I do. This is just one of the ways in which I express making her first. But it's nice because I can see that it's something that resonates with her. And I clearly do other things as well. But this was just an example of something that really stands out. And this is of a personal example, one that is an expression of my own feelings and how I tend to make her first. There are lots of ways in which you can do that. And I'm speaking as a guy for making her first. That's the idea of who comes first. I'm making her first. And by doing so, you know, to recap, there's a lot of loyalty. There's appreciation. There's admiration from others because of the situation she's in. And this is something I've come to learn over time. And women like to be admired for the quality of the relationship that they're in. I think we hear a lot about how selfish guys are and when they come across as being very focused on only their pleasures, then it seems as if the women are acting like servants. And I'm not suggesting that that's something that would ever happen and I would never be okay with it. I'm not a chauvinist by any stretch of the imagination. And I believe in relationships like this should be beneficial to both. And that's the yin and the yang of it. You know, we all cycle. We have roller coasters in our lives and our partners make up for some of the deficits. And then when they're having a deficit, then we make up for it. But again, that's the yin and the yang of the relationship. But having one of quality requires that sometimes you have to think outside the box. You have to really make an effort and be there for your partner, making them first, making it a part of how you operate, and reaching back to the examples that I would be setting for kids, because I talked about that in the very first segment. When kids see their parents make their partner, meaning the mom makes dad important, dad makes mom important, then the kids learn that role. Because kids model what they see. The way you talk to your partner, the way you talk about your partner when your partner's not in the room, you know, the admiration and respect. Kids see that that's how it's to be done. And it creates in them an impression of what respect looks like. And they will not only do it that way, but they will also expect it. So they will become very selective in the kinds of people that they will allow into their own circle. See, that's very impressionable. And I see a lot of wins when you do it this way, meaning good things. Now, not everything is 100% perfect, because I know the water that can soften carrots can boil an egg. So each child is a bit different. But I think, as you know, kind of generalizing here, there's a lot of benefit to helping kids understand these roles. I'm going to take a break, so stay tuned.
Want to know the latest and hottest music hitting the airwaves? Don't be left out. Listen to the Golden State Media Concepts Music Podcast. Keith keeps you on the loop with everything you need to know from pop, rock, hip-hop, and the top 40. And we'll throw in news of your favorite artists, concert and tour dates, and so much more. Listen no further, because this is the Gold Standard in Music Podcast.
The GSMC Life and Happiness Podcast takes you on a journey of exploration. We'll discuss tried and true methods alongside the latest trends of how to best live your life to its fullest and happiest. From psychology to meditation, science to self-help books, the GSMC Life and Happiness Podcast will help you to discover what makes you happy and how you can live life being the best you possible. Download the GSMC Life and Happiness Podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, Google Play, or anywhere you find podcasts. Just type GSMC in the search bar.
Hello, and welcome back to Golden State Media Concepts Relationships Podcast. I'm your host, John Johnson, and I've been talking about who comes first. Now, in the last segment, I was speaking about my partner and how she comes first, and obviously, guys, pay attention. There were some ideas there that could work for you. You might have to do a little bit of digging if you want to find out the sizes of your partner, and whether it's the shoes or the pants or the dress or the undergarments, whatever it is. Do a little bit of work. Sneak into that room, open the drawers, find out what's in there, and then go surprise her by coming up with something special. It could be your idea. Maybe you want something a little spicy. Go ahead and make it happen. She might not object. So on the flip side of that, it's about, okay, how do you make your guy feel special? So ladies who are listening to this podcast, I think I'll use myself as an example. I'm fairly simple. I love to eat, but you know, I'm sort of limited in a lot of things. I don't get a really fancy exotic, and I know a lot of people are very, very good at that kind of thing. So I guess in the sense that, well, maybe to be creative is to think of something that sort of fits along the lines of the things that I typically eat and make something fancy with that. I think that is great because it makes me feel special. One of the other things that I received, it was a gift for just me being me, was a gift card to a hardware store. Now, I spend a lot of time trying to figure out how to fix things because I'm a fix-it kind of guy. And it was a really thoughtful thing. It's one of those gifts that keeps on giving, because with the gift card, what did I turn around and do? I went out and bought a tool that I could use to work on the next project, which in turn benefited her and so on and so forth. And I like those kinds of things. I have been a tool guy for as long as I can remember. I remember being a young kid, and when I didn't know how to work this stuff, my parents made it okay just go ahead and grab the tools and just start figuring things out. So I sort of become like a kid in a candy shop when I get to the hardware store, because I find I get a new tool and something to play with, the IE fix, by utilizing that. And I feel like a hero when project is said and done and I'm getting all the pats on the back for everything that I do. So that's how I feel like I come first, at least in those examples. And one other thing I tend to like to do is when I have my time off, I tend to like to just relax. That is to just have some downtime, some me time. And I don't have to necessarily be alone, but just to feel like I don't have any demands placed on my time. And it could be just being able to sit and say maybe enjoy a movie with her, or just sit and be quiet, maybe listen to some music or share ideas back and forth, but something that is just kind of on low power. Not that I have to say, okay, I have this free moment, so you have to get up and we have to go out and do something. I tend to like to kind of chill at home. Now, I definitely have my up time where I'm up and running and enjoying entertainment, whether it's a movie or going out and seeing a band perform or something like that. And I do that with my significant other so that we're sharing our time together. And I like to make her the object of my affection, taking her out. She'll wear something that I bought, remember, second segment. And I get to admire it. So it's not just other people seeing it, but it's me seeing it. Sometimes I forget that I had purchased a particular item. I said, wow, that looks good on you. And I said, yeah, you got it for me. Oh, yeah. Great. So a little bit of a mutual appreciation party there. Appreciate my investment, and I get some attaboys for doing it. And along with the one-on-one time, it allows me to be in the space of someone that I really like, someone I really care about. And those create a lot of feel-good moments too. One of the other things I tend to like is being able to read the impact that I have on my partners. You'll put these things in writing, and it's really nice because sometimes in the busyness, I might hear a compliment, but I'm not necessarily very good at taking it in and owning it. I tend to do a lot of deflecting because being made the center of attention isn't something that I'm really, really comfortable with. I get the psychology behind it so that I could be better at it, but it is something that I am still working on. But when I get to read something, say, put down on a card, and I get to be in that moment in my own space and start to take it in, then it really, really is special because then I can reread it and own it better. And that's something that I think that makes me feel special. So when there's the kids, there's the her, and there's the him. And that's one of the things that I think I, as a guy, really like. I remember when I was young, one of the things we did for my dad is we'd get him a tie and get some cologne. That was just a traditional dad thing you did for Christmas. Well, that's not something that actually fits me very well, so you have to kind of think outside of the box. And it's, like I said, the fixing the food thing, but I have certain things that I like to eat, and I love it when it's done specifically for me. And another example of that is one of the times I had received a gift of getting a demonstration flight in a private airplane. So the gift was a certificate that I was able to redeem at a time that I went over to the flight club and said, hey, I like to sign up for this. And it says, great. So I went up with an instructor and we flew the airplane around a while, and I got to see what it was like to handle the controls. Again, something really, really specific. So I felt like I was very special. Now, obviously the key to this is knowing something about your partner so that you can pick something out like that. And it's about observing them, having conversations, and sort of storing that information away for an ample opportunity to express that love. And it's nothing wrong with coming right out and asking your partner what it is that they like and figuring out when's a good time for that. I tend to think we all like nice surprises, and something like that comes in a gift card or something you may have aspired to want to do, and somebody makes that an opportunity for you, those are nice. Those make you feel special, make you feel like you're number one. And like I say, there are lots of ways to kind of learn these things about people. It takes a little bit of time, but that investment in time will pay off big dividends because it helps them feel special. They feel like they are first in your life. And by doing that, you're setting an example of how you want to be treated. I think that's how we do it. I'm going to wrap this one up. I'm John Johnson. This is the Golden State Media Concepts Relationships Podcast. Thank you for listening.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Relationship Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. From movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.